Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, November 27th, 2023. Hopefully everybody had a very nice, safe, and blessed Thanksgiving. I know I did. It was relaxing, good to be with friends, pray for our country, talk about things going on, and being thankful for the country we have and talking about why we love our country, but it's our government we're afraid of. But anybody tonight, going to have a little bit of a change of plans here, but we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, let's start with, the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Think about what that really means. That's a lot of info there, and think about where we are today. A sovereign nation of many sovereign states. Ask the average college student these days what that even means. And then, perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity. What are we missing on those things today? I know the freedom, know the justice, those are the equality, we're having major problems in those areas. and we're going to have to decide if we're going to defend against all enemies. Thus, as I say every week, and I sort of said it already once, I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. And I've sort of started a little bit of a campaign going here. I've told some of you how I had the issue when I went to a public campaign event for a state Republican. state Republican, and I was wearing the shirt that says, I love my country, it's the government I'm afraid of. And I was not allowed to stay there. That was not allowed in what you would think would be a conservative county in the state of Florida. Hold on 1 second, please. Okay, let's see if we can take care of that now. What I have done is I've gone out there and I found a local person who did the screen printing and stuff and did up a bunch of shirts, and that's what they say, I love my country, it's the government I'm afraid of, and it's a basic navy blue t-shirt with the white writing. Encouraging people to do that all over the place. You know, nothing fancy, it's just, but it's a message. Get some of those shirts done up, or we're going to try to put them online so you can call and get them from us. It's not to make any money. It's just to put the message out there. And then you wear it going into where your local county commission meetings or local government or your state. Go have a group of you. Have to, if just one does it, it helps, but it doesn't have the same effect. Get a group of patriots to go to a public meeting wearing that shirt and letting that commission, that local government, whatever it may be, city council, to know that we're fed up with them. And we need to put that message across the country. It's true everywhere that I know of. I don't know of anybody, that's a constitutionalist that is happy with what's going on. So I would encourage you to do that. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, tonight, We the Kids, it's an organization that's helping to get our youth back involved with history and understanding God as part of our history and these types of things. Judy Fraser and Kevin Fobbs were going to be on tonight, but there's been a little bit of a change of plans, and so we're pushing them out till next week. It was a conflict. so we'll get them scheduled again for next week. However, Karen Schoen is involved with that group too, so she's going to give us a little bit of an update on some of the campaign that's going a little bit of what was going to be discussed tonight, kind of as a teaser, if you will. But we'll get into much more detail with it next week. So we'll do that. But before we go there, let's see, what are some of the crazy things that are going on? Well, we can talk. So tonight's, just to kind of clarify, tonight's going to be more or less an open mic night since we kind of had a change of plans at the last minute. Anybody wants to talk about the ceasefire going on with Hamas and Israel? To me, I'm not really sure it was really the right thing to do to cave in to the hostage thing, but I'll let people who maybe understand some of that better than me chime in. And then, let's see, there's a thing on Biden, two things. Let's see, Biden and President Joe Biden allotted $169 million for electric heat pumps project with his emergency authority on the basis of climate change. Now, somehow the president is using the Wars Power Act for climate change and to get rid of gas heat or something stupid like that. I mean, can you imagine when we ignore what's going on our border? There's this massive invasion on our border, and this is what the leader of the free world is doing, using War Powers Act for electric heat pump project, emergency authority. Climate change is now an emergency authority kind of thing. This makes no sense. Am I missing something here? Is this real? I want somebody to tell me, is this real? I mean, it looks real. I've seen several articles on this. Dear Lord, help us. Not to mention, you know, the electric heat comes from someplace. I really wish we could somehow get this climate change nonsense out there in the real world and shut down this insanity. Climate change is real, but it's always changed. There was the Dust Bowl. There was the Ice Age in the past. It's always changing, and we should respect the climate and the environment. But what they're doing is just not, it's all bogus. It's just nonsense. And this is one of them. It's like, this is the first time a president classified climate change as an emergency by utilizing the Defense Production Act, which was established during the Cold War. I mean, it's so insane. This is nuts. And then something equally insane to me, this was actually out last month, and I just now saw it. So I'm a little bit behind on this, but because it's so stupid, I figured I had a little bit of humor, if you will. I'm not sure, you know, I would never be thankful for Charmin toilet paper, but at Thanksgiving and this, whatever. Charmin rolls out new toilet paper rip-off technology. This was on Axios, and this was actually last month. They have scalloped edges instead of a straight edge because people are so frustrated with toilet paper not tearing cleanly. Something stupid like that. This is what we're dealing with. I'm like, is this really the most? I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about that kind of thing. It's just so stupid. It's so stupid. Let's see, what are some of the other stupid things going on right now? Let's see here. I kind of stayed away from most of the news over the weekend. I just decided I was taking a little bit of a break for it. Let's see. Oh, a lot of talk. Once again, the communism that's going on is for the greater good. The debt crisis we have going on, of course, everybody knows about that. The other thing is the Jan 6. Now that we've had these tapes, the videos released from the Capitol itself, we need the other videos released from the outside where you get much more video of the Antifa BLM people who were dressed in black, doing all their garbage inside, and then coming out and switching over into their Trump garb and stuff like that. And we need to have these people be brought to real justice kind of thing, which isn't happening right now. And then let's see, and constantly, you know, so I did call last week after last week's show. I called Speaker Johnson's office. I spoke with one of his associates, whatever, and stressed that while I was happy the videos were released, there needs to be something else done about this crime against these Jan 6ers, and there needs to be criminal action against those who participated. And for those who were actively participating in the fraud and the cover-up of what's happened with Jan 6, they need to be charged with murder because people, suicide, I don't know what the number is at this point, but many have committed suicide for what these people did. These were just honest, patriotic Americans doing their job to speak out and protest of the actions of a corrupt government and a corrupt election. And they were incarcerated how they should never have been. They were denied their rights, and they eventually committed suicide. These people involved should all be charged with murder. That's my opinion. I don't see how you couldn't do that after you went. The ones who incited an insurrection, the people who are doing all this fraud and this other manipulation, it's just absolutely disgusting, and something needs to be done with it. And at the same time, I am a strong believer that there needs to be another march on D.C. There has to be, I know there was the one in reference to Israel and that stuff, but I'm talking about the same thing, the Jan 6 type protest out there, protesting a corrupt government, that we want the election to be honest, we want the truth to be known, this type of thing. But, of course, hopefully some lessons learned on this one. You're going there peacefully, like they were. So even if the cops invite you in, even if the cops are giving you a guided tour, don't do it. Just you have to say, no, we can't go in there. Even if you think you got some special permission to do it, don't go in there. Stay outside and don't let them entrap you, because that's what it was. Jan 6 was all about entrapment, and this is what the evilness of the Democratic Uniparty group were doing. They all wanted to shut down that election. And so this is what they did. And instead of allowing the peaceful protest that was there, they manipulated it. They embedded people into it. It was all evil. This is what our government is. This is why I say I'm afraid of this government. The same government that's doing this to its own people are letting a massive invasion on our border. How can that be? It's sick. It's totally sick. And then, you know, you talk about your good old Republicans out there. How many of them refused to impeach that idiot from the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, who between him and Biden, they're both guilty of treason for allowing an invasion of this country. They're setting it up. They're the ones setting up the insurrection. They're the ones setting up the invasion and the takeover of this country. And you could not get all the Republicans to vote for it? I mean, that's what shows you how sick it is. And that's why people have to, you know, it's all fine and dandy to go out there and vote for some party, but vote for somebody that's actually real. And you know what? I'm telling you, if you're going to vote for I can't remember some of the names of these people that were doing this garbage, but if you're going to vote for the same stuff, vote for a third party, because you're wasting your vote anyway. If you're going to vote for a uniparty rhino, whatever, you're voting for another Democrat. Doesn't matter what party they're in. A Democrat by any other name is still a communist, Marxist, Democrat, whatever. It doesn't matter what party they are if that's what they believe. So please be careful who you vote for. Please. And you got to push to get these open primaries. We should not be blocking all third party and no party affiliates from participating in the presidential primaries, because that's truly what is happening now, whether we want to admit it or not. Okay, and now let's see. Getting back to the purpose of the show tonight, like I was saying, a little bit of a change in plans. We the Kids was going to be on with Judy Frazier, who's the founder, and Kevin Fogg. But it was a conflict, so we need to go ahead and reschedule them for next week. That's the current plan. Hopefully everything works out for that. Karen, like I said, Karen Schoen, she's involved. She's an advisor. Because this is education and the kids and stuff, and, of course, Karen's a former teacher. I'm still a teacher, but not in the public school system. She left that a while back. She's going to give us a little bit of an update on what's going on with that. And then the other, just as we're talking about that, this was something I just heard about on a Glenn Beck podcast over the weekend. I was watching it. It's the name of the book is Hide Your Children by Liz Wheeler, Exposing the Marxists Behind the Attack on America's Kids. It was very interesting, the things that she was saying and how it's happening. And we talked about the feminist movement, how part of that was, or the feminist movement was part of it, stuff we've talked about in the past. Many of the things we have talked about to some degree on the show in the past, but it really went into a little bit more detail as to how they're totally manipulating the children. And the part that I also found interesting too because we've been talking about public education being an indoctrination camp. It's always, as she was explaining, and it made perfect sense the way she was explaining it, public education has always been a type of indoctrination to some degree, but the thing is we were teaching the truth about our history, and God was part of our history, and this has all been taken out. And so how they've manipulated, twisted public education to the negative instead of to the positive, instead of teaching children why they should be proud to be Americans on what our history really is and how we change things, we make things better. We have a constitution that we amend as we need to. Instead of taking that approach, how they've twisted it all back around to something evil and to the destruction of this country, to the harm of it. So I thought it was really interesting, and it kind of makes me, you know, to me, it kind of goes along with what We the Kids is doing when it talks about the next generation. If we don't get these kids on the right track, they are the next generation, and we've already got, Obama said, just give me one generation. I think it was Saul Alinsky who said the same thing, whatever. One generation, you convert. You convert these American children to this other thing, and they take over. And you just can see this all over the place. You can see where this has truly happened today. And so we have to undo this. And so I'm going to have Karen explain all that, but also try to give a little bit of a Florida update, too, on what's been happening on trying to clean up our elections, trying to find a governor, because it looks like we don't really have one anymore. We never know where Ron DeSantis is at. He's out there someplace. But he isn't here in Florida. Now, when it came to the hurricane and whatever, some of those kind of disasters, for his own publicity and photo opportunities, whatever, he had to get back in town and take care of that stuff and show that he was doing stuff. So he was here, but then he's been gone. Outside of that, I don't really remember last time I saw him really doing anything here in Florida. He's too busy trying to take the other stuff down. And him trashing Trump is just such a stupid thing to do, but whatever. I'm not going to try to get inside that guy's head because I think he's definitely being given some some bad advice on what to be doing. He, as far as I can see, he's ruined his own career. And too bad we've got a couple of people out there like the Steve Daces out there that just, they hate, they're about as bad as the Democrats to some degree. They hate Trump so much that they're determined to go with DeSantis. But it'll be interesting to see what Steve Daces does when DeSantis loses the primary and cleaning up the GOP and this other stuff. It's disgraceful to see what has happened out there, but that's where we're at right now. So with that being said, I'm going to go to Karen here to give us a little of an overview on the We the Kids, what it is, what's about her role in it and that type of thing. And we'll get, like, say, into more details next week when Judy and Kevin are able to join us. And then Karen, I think, had some other updates, including some of the fun stuff going on in New York. And I really want to know, with all this crazy immigration, if anybody out there listening knows the answer, please chime in. When do we, the people, have a right to defend our homeland? Because our homeland's being invaded right now. It's already invaded. Lord only knows how many different military groups we have scattered about, embedded across this country right now, waiting for the next 9/11 event. But that's going to be nationwide. It won't be limited to a few places like the last one was. It's going to be nationwide. So when do we, the people, defend ourselves? When obviously we have a government that's inciting an invasion. They're the ones promoting and inciting this invasion and worrying about climate change and heat pumps. It's so insane. Well, that being said, Karen, how are you doing this evening? How was your Thanksgiving? And help us out with some of the stuff.
And my Thanksgiving was wonderful, delicious. As always, it is my favorite holiday. I absolutely love to cook for it because it really brings me back to my childhood and all of those wonderful delicacies that we used to have. But I did discover that the packaging is a lot smaller and the things that I bought, a lot of them, the taste was different. And then I began to look at the packages, and I really investigated them. And I discovered that much of our food says, warning, there is bioengineered food, particles, pieces, whatever, in this product. So, folks, I would suggest that before you buy something now, you check it out because it seems to be appearing more and more and more. As far as We the Kids, it is a wonderful group, wonderful people. And it was started about 10 years ago. I am fortunate enough to be on the advisory board, and it is a pleasure to work with them because what they are doing is bringing America's stories back to the children while training children, older children, to become truth tellers and journalists, teaching them how to interview, teaching them how to ask questions, teaching them how to sniff out a story. And it is a wonderful thing. We just got an okay from Sheriff Mack's organization, Constitutional Sheriffs of America, and each of the sheriffs is going to be tasked with giving a 2 to 3 minute message to the children, to the, I guess they are not children, I don't know, students. And that's my dog who feels that he has to participate. I'm going to move away. But they will be giving a 2 to 3 minute a message to the kids, but then the kids will be able to interview them. And that is a wonderful thing because we no longer have journalists in our country anymore. What we have are a group of individuals that are only capable of reading the talking points that the DNC tells them to read, and they're incapable of answering any questions, and even when you ask them. It's funny, I just had a friend call me, and she said, "You're not going to believe this, but what you said was true." And I said, "Oh, really, what was that?" And she said, "They really don't know anything." She said, "I was online in the grocery store, and a woman came to me, and she said, oh, are you conservative?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, I will never vote for Trump." And she said, "Why?" "Because he's a fascist." And my friend said, "And what is a fascist?" And she said, "I don't know. You have to look it up." She said, "You just called him a fascist. You should know what it means." "I don't have to know what it means. I just know he's a fascist." So proving the point that if we challenge them, they are brain dead. All they are is capable of regurgitating a message that they heard on MSNBC or CNN or some other program that certainly does not tell the truth anymore. In any event, getting back to We the Kids, it is a fabulous organization. There is an award-winning radio show. Judy has won an award every year for 3 years on a radio show in Philadelphia where the kids tell stories about heroes, real American heroes. Isn't that refreshing? I discovered that the majority of our kids have no heroes. Their heroes are animated cartoon characters. You can't base your life and learn from an animated cartoon character. You learn from the people who have done things, especially in America, and you take the ones that you like and you see what they did and you see how great it was and what they did to achieve their goal, and you copy them. And you change it to meet yourself. But if you don't have that life experience, you don't know anything. And that was what was happening. So Lydia Nuttall wrote a wonderful book called Real American Story. I'm sorry, not real. It was Forgotten American Stories. And Judy bases the radio show a lot on some of the stories that Lydia had put in her book. So our children are now learning about real American heroes, not the animated figures of the Marvel characters that they see. And then the other thing was they wrote a letter to President Trump and asked if they could interview him. And it looks like that interview might happen. So Judy will have more of an update on that when you see her next week. But it is a wonderful organization, and if there's any way any of you can help, and you can help by mentoring a child, or you can help by sending money. It takes money to run these shows. It takes money to do all of the things that Judy is doing, and for the most part, she has been doing it herself. So any money is always greatly appreciated. And like I said, it is a fabulous group, and it is a wonderful program, and it's called WeTheKids.us, and they will tell you more about it next week. They even wrote a petition to support the Israel, and Kevin will tell you about that when he's on next week. So look it up, be prepared. But it's a fabulous group, and if you can listen to the radio show with your kids or grandkids, that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, let me mention, Karen, real quick. I visited that website, too. A lot of good information on the website. You ought to really take a look at it. You'll see what they're really doing. So it was good. Then there was one other person that was on there that caught my attention, and I know some of the people listening right now will recognize the name William Federer.
Historian.
Yes, he's engaged in it too, and if he's helping to teach these kids and share that history, then I know it's going to just more power to it, and hopefully we'll get him back on the show here in the near future. He's just an excellent historian, and he puts it out there in plain simple language as here's the way it is, here's what's happening. For those of you who have heard him on the show in the past, it's excellent. But I noticed he was engaged in that as well. So back to you, Karen.
He's going to be a guest on my show this week, so I hope people will be able to listen. And he is talking about the history. We've been talking about the history, and I told him I was so upset by listening to how they were destroying Thanksgiving that we really needed a history lesson to understand the whole makeup and where Thanksgiving came from. So he started that this week, and he'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll be finishing it. But it was a fabulous lesson. I was so engrossed in what he was saying that I really didn't talk at all, so that was kind of strange for me. But it was a wonderful lesson, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And you can hear it on Saturday and Sunday of this week on the Prism of America's Education on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network on Saturday or Sunday at 7 a.m. in the morning and 9 in the evening. So thank you for letting me plug the show. That was good. Sally, you also mentioned about climate change. And if you don't mind, I'd like to make a few comments on that.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, climate change is a lie. It's a hoax. And it was decided, it was really developed during Hitler's time, and actually before that. But Hitler used climate as a way to get the agrarian, the farmers, to turn against the industrialists, who were the Jews. And Hitler blamed the famine on the Jews. And that worked out so well that the farmers turned on the industrialists, and it made it easy for Hitler to then go and round up the Jews. So they realized by doing this that the climate was something that touches everybody. So if you make that your crisis, it affects everybody. And you can then create your good guys and bad guys. And because their goal is to depopulate the planet, what better thing to use than carbon dioxide, which we need to exist? So if you are eliminating carbon dioxide, then you would cease to exist, which is their goal to begin with. So they picked on carbon dioxide. They also pick on methane. Both of these gases comprise less than 0.05% of the atmosphere. They have nothing to do with global warming. I tell everybody when I used to teach, when we would talk about it, I would say, imagine your bathtub filled with cold water. And you take a thimble and you fill it up with hot water. Your bathtub represents water vapor. That's what the earth is mostly made of. The thimble represents carbon dioxide. If I took that thimble and I threw it in the bathtub, would the water turn hot? No. That's insane. It can't turn hot. That's what they are telling us is happening. Also, the release of carbon dioxide comes after it warming, not before. So how can something that comes after be the cause of something that happens before? That's impossible. But because our kids do not have a science education or any education, they never think of that. Water vapor is the biggest influence on the climate, and yet they never discuss it. And in order to prove what I just said about carbon dioxide, I do the soda theory. Take a glass of soda, put it in the refrigerator. Make sure it's nice and cold. Take it out. What is it filled up with? Lots of bubbles. What are those bubbles? Those are carbon dioxide bubbles. Well, where are they? They're in the glass of cold water. Well, let that glass sit on the table for a while. Let it get nice and warm. What happens? As it gets warm, the bubbles release. They don't release when it's cold. They don't cause it to get warm. They release once it gets warm. So how can something that is the result of something also be the cause? It can't. So now we know climate change is a lie. So why do they use it? They are using it because it enables them to control the people. And it enables them to do things like steal our private property, like steal our money, redistribute our wealth. And right now, America is, we are $33 trillion in debt. I think it goes to 35, and that's the tipping point of when our income equals our debt. And once you pass that threshold, you don't have a country anymore because there is no economy. And right now, what our government never talks about and what the talking heads never talk about is they can't even sell our treasury bonds, which is the way money is raised to support, additional support for all of these idiotic programs. Nobody wants to buy them anymore. So what is going to happen in order to keep these programs running is they're going to have to print money. And the more money they print, the less value the dollar becomes until the dollar is, like Argentina and Venezuela, worthless, useless. And I think Javier Milei is coming to America, or he may even be here now, and Argentina has 140% inflation. We, unfortunately, are headed in that direction. And what did our czar of, what do we call him? Let me get his title here. He is the climate envoy, and that is John Kerry. This is not a real job. It is not part of the cabinet, but yet he has the ability to spend America's money. And what is he doing while we are in $33 trillion of debt? And he's busy flying around in his jets, one of his several jets, in one of his several mansions. that uses gas. He has now promised third world country reparations from America because, according to him, it's America's fault that we have climate change.
This is so sick.
It is beyond sick. It is beyond sick. And all of this is going to be tied to the social credit system, because how good you are, how little carbon you use, will boost your carbon credit score, and your central bank digital currency card will then be filled.
Yeah.
So you may be able to go to the store, but don't go think you're going to buy meat. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You can
buy
mugs.
Real quick here, this kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, the person who didn't know what fascism was. Trump was a fascist, even though they don't know what a fascist is. But they know he's a fascist because that's what they know they know. They don't know what it means,
right,
but they know it. And they know it's bad, so they know it. It was when I was out and about shopping over the weekend, I was in this one place. The idea, and I saw this in one of the emails, I think it was Dr. Joe who sent it, but I can't remember for sure. Saying use cash on Friday. Let Fridays be cash Fridays. When you go out, don't use any kind of plastic. Don't use any kind of electronic digital payment, if you will, and use cash, because we don't want to go to this digital currency. But it was kind of funny. I was in a place, and it was Friday, and I was paying with cash, and I said something about cash Friday. And the person, they really didn't know what I was talking about. I said, well, this is in reference to the central bank digital currency. And I said, are you familiar with that? And they said, no. This was a person who had no idea CBDC. Apparently had never heard it. Maybe they heard it on the news but didn't connect the dots and understand what it was. I don't know. But anyway, so I said something. I said, oh, yeah. I said, they're trying to come up with this digital currency card. Excuse me. And this is really bad. And she really just had no idea what I was talking about. I said, well, the thing is, they'll be able to control what you buy. I said, you know, once they do this, they have full control over your account. It'll be worse than what they did up in Canada, where they shut down those truckers' bank accounts, too, or the same thing, where they couldn't buy anything. But they'll be able to monitor what you're buying and block it. So just imagine that you have a digital currency, and you go out there to buy the ammo for your guns. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to block it. And so I was giving her a little bit of a lesson, but it was just, when this person wasn't being hateful or anything else, just totally unaware, ignorant of the subject matter, no clue. And I think in the beginning, and I made some comments. Well, I said, sometimes people get it mixed up with a debit card. It's not a debit card. People need to understand that. This is not a debit card. This is a central bank controlling your spending, and you better remember that. And you better jump on these people to say no, these people in office, to start protecting our rights and shut this stuff down, which I guess to some degree DeSantis is doing something to block it here in Florida. I'm not even sure what the latest is, but when we do the Florida update, we can go there. But it's just, it's amazing that people just have, they are so naive and they're so willing to drink any Kool-Aid that these people serve them. Come on, people, please stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Challenge them. It's called critical thinking. If the government says it, assume it's a lie and go and double-check everything. Go out there and prove it. And the same as with this climate change nonsense. And I think there needs to be a little bit of a clarification, too. When it comes to climate change and pollution, I mean, they play games with these two things. There really is such a thing as pollution, dumping all sorts of chemicals into a river and killing all the fish. And pollution is bad. You shouldn't throw trash all over. You know, we should respect the environment, and we shouldn't trash it. Now, if you want to see really trash and pollution, go down to the southern border. And if you haven't seen it, there is the show Law and Border. Go watch some of those segments, because they go all along. In addition to the pollution, all the trash and garbage that's all along the way, there's a few dead bodies along the way, too. There's that out there, too. But it's just totally disgusting, and it's just so the whole thing is so disgusting. But the games they play with climate change. But at the same time, because we talk about Robert F. Kennedy running, and I'm still digging up more on his climate climate change, pollution. He's definitely been heavily involved in cleaning up the environment, cleaning up the Hudson River and things like that, and, of course, the vaccine issue. And there's been apparently things he said in the past in reference to climate change in general, but he is not in favor of shutting down all the fossil fuels. So, I mean, you give him that, too. But I really need to learn more about his position on that. I would say that's probably one of the biggest things that, and I guess he's pro-choice, which I never understood any Catholic being pro-choice. That part I haven't figured out. But when it comes to this environment climate thing, he's I agree with him on many other things, the COVID, the stupid ABC agencies, all this other stuff. He's right on point on so many things, but I got to get that other side out there too. And I really wish somehow, some way, we get Trump and him to work together on some of these common things, because I think the two of them bring a lot of good stuff to the table. If there's a way to make that happen, because obviously, as I said before, Republicans don't like Trump, and the Democrats don't like Kennedy. So I think it tells you something right there.
I kind of derailed
that discussion a little bit, but two things, the digital currency and the environment.
Now, as you were talking, I was remember when, in the beginning, when the EPA was first an agency, and people don't realize, but yes, fossil fuel was a huge polluter of the air, and in many instances, especially in the larger cities, it was impossible to breathe. Well, over the years, 95% of the pollution has been cleared up. The problem is the kids today don't remember what the purpose of the EPA was. And of course, the minute these people get an ounce of power, they blow it out of proportion and make it so stringent that all they want to do is control. And right now, the fossil fuel companies are so clean, they burn coal clean, they burn all the fossil fuels burn clean, so there's absolutely no reason for them to shut down any fossil fuel industry except one, and that is the government doesn't own it, and that's the problem. In the majority of the third world countries, including Great Britain, what is BP? Go back and take a look. BP was British Petroleum. Who owned British Petroleum? The monarchy. So in America, the fuel companies, they may be public, they may be private, but they are not owned by the government. So in order for the government to own them, they first have to put them out of business. And that's what they're trying to do. And Frank showed me the other day a meme that someone had sent him, and it said it was a train that was filled with coal. You could see for miles going back the freight train, and it said food for electric engine, food for EVs, and it's so true. How do you get that electricity? You need the coal to be able to produce it.
And of course, the EVs, they use the climate and the environment as their excuse for the EVs, but the EVs are all about controlling and limiting your movement. They want to shut you down and make them so expensive you can't afford it, and then you can't go anywhere because you're stuck. You know, it's all insane, and people got to push back on the insanity.
Exactly, and not only that, tucked away in the infrastructure bill that none of our idiots read, there is a section that is a cutoff switch for the government. Oh, don't worry, Karen, they're only going to use it if they think you're driving erratically. Maybe you're, who knows, maybe you're drunk. Well, you're not in my car. How do you know what I am? Maybe I hit an ice patch. Maybe my car skidded. Who knows what the problem was, but they have now the ability to shut the car off. The other thing is, of course, if They don't like what you're saying, and they don't like what your friends are saying, and you're not kind to the environment, and maybe you're not following the protocol, and you're talking derogatory about the government wearing a T-shirt like you were, Sally. That was disgraceful. Then you get your digital currency card filled up with credits. So you won't be able to go anyplace. You won't be able to do anything. So, I mean, this whole thing is a huge master plan of the governments trying to control massive amounts of people. And we had the bobbleheads going to dinner, was it 2 weeks ago, with President Xi, 400 of them, 400 companies that we should never, ever use. Going to dinner with Xi, telling him and giving him a standing ovation as to the way that he has imprisoned his population. Think about that. That's what he has done. He has imprisoned his population. And that's what, oh, this is so wonderful. We should be doing the same thing. Absolutely. That's what they are trying to do. And the interesting thing that Bill Federer said when he was on my show was that this is nothing new. This is the way the kings behave. Either you paid attention and you paid homage to the king, and he let you eat. And if he didn't, then he would come. And it wasn't your land. It was the king's land. But he would steal your bounty and make you a slave. So either you paid attention and you said, wonderful king, you're fabulous, you're terrific, I love you, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do, or off with your head. And what do we see now? It's exactly the same thing, so nothing has really changed. But Mayor Adams has a solution. Mayor Adams in New York has a solution for the immigrants. He's going to give every New Yorker $365,000 to convert their garage or basement into an apartment for the illegal. Now,
it's just
think about that, because think about the zoning and how many people went to their zoning board and said, I'd like to make an apartment in my basement. And the zoning board said, no, you can't do that. It's a single-family house. Now, all of a sudden, in mass, oh, now it's okay for you to do that? Think about how disgusting these people are, because they are.
They are.
Disgusting. And they, believe me, they will not be affected by the laws and the things that they inflict upon us. There is no way that they will eat bugs. There is no way that they're going to ride on a horse and buggy because they won't have their car. They won't have their credits. There's no way that that's going to happen. There's no way they're going to give up their gas stove. And like you said, Biden is now going to be giving, turning the heat, giving a stipend now to the heat pump. Okay, in order to have a heat pump, what does a heat pump do, an electric heat pump? It means you have to get rid of your gas furnace or your wood-burning stove or whatever it is that you choose to have, and you have to have an electric furnace. Now, what happens in the winter when the grid goes down? How many people will freeze to death, and they will say, oh, what a shame. Look at all those people. So bad. Too sad. So sad. They don't care.
And when that happens, that is when we have to go out there. These people should be charged with crimes against humanity, murder, whatever, because they are the ones that they are causing this problem. At some point, we have to pull back and, you know, enough is enough. Of course, I realize we don't have any justice, especially this DOJ we got right now, that we don't have any. But we really have to think about they're inflicting pain and harm to these people. And at one time, they used to be illegal. You couldn't go out there and harm others. You know, if you don't want to use a gas stove yourself, then fine, don't do it. Of course, apparently our vice president likes it. Didn't she have her Thanksgiving picture right next to her gas stove? Good thing she's out there against gas stoves. I mean, the hypocrisy of it all, it's all so much garbage. And these people need to be held accountable. They're causing harm to others. At one time, you do what you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else kind of thing, live and let live. Well, they're not doing that. They're living and helping to kill. I mean, they're not live, let live. They're living and helping to kill others. And at some point, we have to admit that and take action against it. It's just so disgusting. True crime against humanity.
If we knew our Constitution, we would say, no, you can't do that. No, it's not part of the enumerated powers. No, it's not part of the government's business. No, and we will nullify it within our state. The problem is that we don't do that. So we will allow corrupt elections. They just found massive corruption in Georgia and Pennsylvania. And Joe Hoff, who is from Gateway Pundit, will be exposing what went on in Georgia. Apparently there are 140,000 ballots that are being held up by a judge. He won't release them, that were all printed exactly the same, with the same signature, with the same typeset, with the same paper, with everything. And they were mail-in ballots that weren't folded. So how did that happen? I mean, 140,000 people mailed in ballots
the nerve of you to the people and for Trump, the people to question the ethics and integrity and the security of this election, just the nerve of us to challenge what they've done. You know, what are we thinking?
Absolutely. Well, this is going to be very interesting because how can they say that the Georgia election was secure when this happened? They also found another 17,000 ballots that had no chain of custody. That meant that they were just separated from the envelopes that they were in, and there was no way to verify signature. So I was watching Steve Bannon. He asked, well, what did the people do? And the only answer for this election coming up in 2024 is we all have to get our friends, get our relatives, get everyone we know to go out and vote, because the only way they can't steal the election is if the people vote, because then they can't use your ballot. And that's what they have been doing. You don't vote, somebody else is going to vote for you. Isn't that nice? And we also have to watch several of the states where the illegals are being allowed to vote. The illegals who are not Americans are going to determine our Congress, are going to determine our president? I don't think so. But this is a problem when the people don't pay attention. So people have to pay attention. This is a critical election. And it really doesn't matter if you love Trump or you hate Trump. Biden is absolutely not fit to be in office. He is not making any decisions. He can barely stand and think and talk. Why on earth would you want to give the reins of this government, of this country, over to such an incompetent human being?
You know, it would be kind of interesting. Real quick here, Karen, it'd be kind of interesting with his mental capacity, whatever's left of it. There was never much to begin with, in my own opinion, but with it, where it's at now, I'd be kind of curious to see what his signature looks like on these things, because can he still even sign his name? I'd be willing to bet he can't even do that right now. Who knows what he actually signs as? It'd be kind of interesting, because I'd be willing to bet he doesn't even know how to sign his name anymore. Not unless they make sure they do it at the right time of day with the right meds or something. Because he obviously didn't know when it came to Arlington. And then, of course, some deal about him pardoning the turkeys, couldn't seem to do that right. I don't know. I mean, it's despicable what is going on. And We've got to change this stuff. And, you know, I can't stress enough, because of the unrestricted war that's going on, what we the people need to have, or we need to be working closely with our sheriffs. We talked a little bit about this last week. We've got to see what we're going to do, because if Trump gets elected, what do you think these people are going to do? When and if, and as, you know, if they don't manage to stop him, do something else. I don't know. Are they going to do something before the election in November of next year? Or if, you know, you get that far and he gets elected there, what, because of this invasion of this country, I really don't know what to expect with this election. I don't know. I have a lot of concern, and I really want to know what we the people should be doing to secure this homeland in the meantime, for whatever might be happening. I don't know. Anyway, I was just thinking about that as we talk about this election.
We the people should be putting pressure on our legislatures and our governor to bring out the state National Guard and stop these people from coming in. The federal government has no right to do this. They're not paying attention to the law. When they don't pay attention to the law, the states can take the law, quote, in their own hands. And our governors are not doing this. They are complicit. They are allowing this to happen. You can't tell me that we don't have enough volunteers that would go down to the border and stop the people from coming in. You can't tell me that we don't have enough equipment that we could go down to the border and stop the people from coming in. Nobody is doing anything. And the worst group are the Republicans. They are the worst. At least the Democrats, we know where they stand. We know they're horrible. We know they're communists. The Republicans will just lie to your face and stick a knife in your back. Look at what Ron is doing right now to the Republican Party. Trump is ahead by, what, 30, 40 points? And they're having stupid debates. And she's saying, oh, we have no money. Think, moron, why do you have no money? Because nobody's paying attention to these stupid debates.
And Glenn Beck is on the record. I will never, ever, ever, ever give another dime to the RNC. Never. I mean, he was really funny. It was, well, I don't know, last show or two, whatever, a few shows back just recently where he was adamant. And I'm the same way. I won't donate to either. I mean, I won't donate to any political party, period. I will strictly do what I can for an individual candidate that I happen to know and have some faith in. I would do it, you know, donate to the actual candidate, but not to these political parties. The RNC and the DNC, they are such corrupt entities. And I'm telling you, everybody, I'm going to find out what that date is. I'm going to go down there, and I'm hoping I can get some other no-party affiliates to do the same thing in their towns. If you're in a state with closed primaries, which most states are, and which Florida is, and then I'm going to go down there. It's like, okay, I'm being forced, in order to participate in this primary, I'm being forced to be associated with this organization that I don't believe in, and that's a tax against me. And then I'm hoping I get enough people to do that. We have to have enough people, then we can have a true class action suit. I can file the suit on my own case, but, you know, with one person, it's not going to be nearly as effective. But we really need people. If you're if a third party, go. You might as well go because you have no primary. So if you have a third party, go to get into be an NPA or whatever, or switch your party to the two parties, one of the two parties in the primary, and then make sure that you document that you're doing it against your will because they're blocking your right to participate in the presidential election, the vice presidential election. And then we've got to change that part. We've got to stop the corruption of these two political parties who have total control over the ballot box. It's our ballot box, not theirs. And look what they're doing to it. And then, if we would do that, we would shut down these two stupid entities. They can go over and have their own convention someplace else. I don't. At that point, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Ronna Romney goes out there, and it doesn't – you blow the money out there, whatever. But take it away from – don't be controlling our ballot box with your mismanagement stuff. We've got to stop it. Anyway, sorry, I have to rant on that from time to time. I'm sure Nathan was happy to hear that.
You're absolutely right. This is a disgrace. And the worst group are the RINOs in the Republican Party. They're still pushing Nikki Haley and Rhonda, what's his name? Rhonda, who used to be the governor, because he's not anymore, a part-time governor. I mean, this is what they're doing is disgraceful, and saying they have no money. You would think that they would want to preserve their money and use it for the general election, because O'Biden has $200 million and they only have $9 million. So let's go and waste our money on a debate that nobody will watch. And the one that's really going to be really stupid is Sean Hannity with the debate between DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. I mean, why give Gavin Newsom a platform? He even opened his mouth. He's so stupid. Everybody wants to live like California. You really want to live? They live in California. The taxes are off the charts. They've outlawed gas vehicles. The man is a lunatic. What was I reading the other day of education? The kids in Pennsylvania in the seventh grade have algebra. In California, they don't have algebra until the ninth grade, and now they're going to vote to eliminate it. They're insane. They're absolutely
hide your children.
Hide your children. Get them out of those indoctrination clinics. That's all they are. Disgraceful.
Communist, and the key being Marxist communist indoctrination camps.
Right, and now think about it. We, the people, when we buy something, when we do something, we're suffering from the affirmative action graduates who are now manning the cash register, being our electrician or our cashier. These people have no brain, no thought, nothing, and they're going to run the country? How does that work?
It's going to be so scary. The fear I have, the fear of this invasion and the next 9/11 event or whatever it may be that's going to happen when it comes to all this election and all this stuff. So you take this literally feeling defenseless as our homeland is totally unsecured. And then I look at this other side, it's like, well, even if that wasn't there, you've got to be scared by these people that we have cheated out of any kind of education. And it's like they're the ones that are going to be leading the way and running the show, and they're almost brain dead. I mean, they're going to be the equivalent of a Biden, which isn't good. In his better days, he wasn't good.
Kamala. You think we laugh at her, but she is representative of the people. They're more like her than they are like us, like thinking beings. I think this is unbelievable that America has come to this. It is so incredibly sad. However, the good news was that the younger kids, the ones that are just graduating, I guess they're Gen Z, they are fed up with O'Biden, and they want to vote for Trump because they realize that they will never even be able to have what their parents had, not getting better than their parents, which was always our goal, but they won't even be able to have what their parents have. So one of the moron talking heads on CNN said, the reason why the Gen Zers are leaving O'Biden is because he has refused reparations. How stupid.
Well, and the sad part is there's people that actually listen and believe this kind of stuff. It's like, here you had this one lady out there saying, I have to work three jobs now to survive. This is why I'm not voting. This is why I'm leaving the Democrat Party or whatever else she was saying to that effect. It's like, this is what people are, you know, there's a lot of people who are naive or they clueless, as in they just think they're a Democrat, so they're going to do what the Democrats, because the Democrats, whatever, without really listening. But now that some are starting to feel the pain, they're actually, wait a minute, this isn't really the right thing to do. And those people who are coming to their senses and having the great awakening, whatever, those we really got to get those people engaged too, to say you got to make sure this is an honest election, and we got to switch directions, and you better be ready to protect yourself on all levels. This is going to be all over the place. And how, and you know, going back to the your county sheriffs and whatever else, you better see what you do to protect yourself too. What your rights are. We know what your constitutional rights are, but if you're out there alone and you don't have some kind of group of people, the true patriots better come together, because we're the ones that are going to save each other and save this country. It's not going to be the morons that are in charge. It really isn't. But we've got to get these other people who are feeling the pain, and now they're almost being forced to be engaged when maybe they never wanted to be in the past. And that's been true of a lot of people who were never engaged in any of the political stuff, but they're suffering enough that they're saying, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Well, I can only hope, and we can only hope, that they suffer enough and they feel that America is worth saving. Because if America goes down the tubes, there isn't any other place to go to. Oh, however, it looks like Ecuador got a populist president who believes in Ecuador. And I thought that was really a wonderful thing. Their new president has decided that the first thing that he's going to do after, I think he was in office for an hour, is that he is now criminalizing all drugs. He said the only thing that decriminalizing drugs did was create a generation of addicts. And he said the people have had enough. They are behind him, and all drugs are going to become criminalized again. So do you think any of the idiots in America will follow suit? That should be very interesting. But it's another one. The election in the Netherlands that gave Geert Wilder from the, I don't remember the exact name of his party, but it was the rightist party, the populist party. And it was promoted by the farmers. Remember, the Dutch government wanted to go after the farmers and make them kill at least 30% of their herd? Well, the farmers got together, and in other countries, you get to form political parties, and they usually have multiple political parties, and the prime minister has to come together with a coalition with other political parties in order to form a government. Well, they weren't supposed to have their election until 2025, but the voice of the farmers were so strong that the current president was forced to resign. There was a new election by paper, and Geert Wilder is now the new president of the Netherlands, and the farmers will get to keep their cattle, and the people will be able to eat. So he believes in the Netherlands first, and I think this is a wonderful thing. At least President Trump, when he is reelected, will have a group of good, solid, nation-loving people to work with. Instead of,
and you know,
garbage.
The thing too, Karen, is people. This is where I, at least I'm getting some hope and faith, and it's I would say increasing, because the world is. All these other countries are doing stuff too. The people are seeing The Great Awakening. I know there's a book out there or whatever. I'm not sure who wrote which one or whatever. But the truth is people are starting to really realize what's going on. And while they've been using the internet so much against us, playing games against us, now I think the mass communication is starting to actually help us and engage the others and say we all have to fight this together. We all have to reject this Marxist communist takeover of the world, or the New World Order, or the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, whatever. And these, like Argentina and stuff, the ones that are getting these conservatives, personally for the U.S., I want us to be constitutionalist, but the conservative pro-freedom, whatever you want to call it, movement, well, we see this happening, and it's to me, it's just saying, yes, we have a chance. We can save this world. We still have a chance to do something about it. And just the fact that they're all, there's this awareness coming. We need these countries to all start saying, exit the United Nations. So if we can figure a way to get that message to these new leaders and get Trump also, because Trump, I don't think really ever did anything when it came to the United Nations. He did a lot to try to get us out of the World Health Organization and some of this other crazy stuff, Paris Accords and all this stuff. But we got to get out of the United Nations. And we've had Karen Bracken on the show in the past talking about it. Mm-hmm. And we probably need to have her on again, too, to talk some more about it, because she's like a master of that topic. But we've got to shut down. The United Nations is where they funnel all the garbage through. So we've got to get rid of them, too. There's a couple of comments out there. And anybody, feel free to call in and push one and join the discussion. I see Joe's out there a couple of times and also Hank Jones. Something about the American left will scream about drug criminalization. Well, you know, whatever. They can scream, as Joe was saying, they can scream and just let them scream. But then there's also the one colonel out there on the Rumble. It's How to Save America. There's a movie or show or whatever it is on there. There are ways to save it. Excuse me. And I think we're making progress. I just don't know if we're making it fast enough. That's the question. And I also, again, go back to the crazy insanity of what's happening in this country with this 2024 election. Will we make it to the election? Will we be able to prove? And I guess you were talking about the Georgia, what was going on in Georgia, and then also Pennsylvania. Are we getting close to truly saying out loud this was a totally corrupt and it's an illegitimate president that's in there right now? He was never elected, kind of thing. Are we really getting closer to saying that kind of stuff too, to save the country? Yeah, go ahead.
According to Joe Hoff, they have gathered the evidence in real time, and they can prove 100% about the election being stolen in Georgia, and the biggest theft occurred in Fulton County. Isn't that a surprise?
Surprise, surprise, yeah.
So I don't know how Fannie Willis is going to have a case when a judge has already said that the machines are not certified. I found out that in Florida, our machines have not been certified since 2009. And every year they get Now, you're in IT, Sally. Do you think that we have the same IT that we did in 2009, or have there been improvements? Are there new things that have popped up?
Things have changed a little since then.
Yes. And the other thing is, guess who certifies the machines? The company that made them. Isn't that wonderful? So they're certifying their own equipment, and they didn't bother to certify it since 2009. So please tell me how these machines are anything other than a big statement of how to commit fraud. But again, we're not going to stop the fraud. That's the one thing that I learned. They are criminals. We're not going to be able to stop them, but we should be able to combat them. And if enough people vote, that's what we need. So we can't have anybody being home, sitting on the couch, saying, oh, I'm going to vote. I'm going to think about voting for Trump. You know, and what is the RNC's answer to that? Oh, we need to do ballot harvesting. No, we don't need to do ballot harvesting. We need to get out the vote. We need to make sure that
yep.
people vote. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be knocking on doors, going around and registering more and more people to vote and not thinking that, oh, wow, they're registered Republican. It doesn't mean they're going to vote. It just means that they registered. So being registered and voting are two different things, and we have to pay attention to that. Unfortunately, everybody, I think, should sign the petition to get rid of Rhonda McDaniel, and that petition can be found on firerana.com.
Yeah. Definitely.
So
the question came up, the guy that was talking about the elections, Joe Hoff, is it H-O-F-F? What is the question about his last name?
H-O-E-F.
Oh, okay, H-O-E-F. Okay, somebody was asking in the chat room.
You can find him at
Joe
the
or Jim.
Pundit.
Yeah, Gateway Pundit. That's the best way. Just go to Gateway Pundit.
Right. And they are twins, yep. and the one that's doing the investigating in Georgia is Joe Hoff.
Okay. Okay. Well, hopefully that answers that question. Sorry, didn't mean to get distracted, but the question was out there in the chat room, so I figured I'd bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the harvesting stuff like that, this is where Trump is saying we have to play the same game they play, and because we can't seem to get some of the state governments to clean up their act, which we'll talk about Florida there in a minute, how much we have to play the same game as what the Uniparty's doing out there, Democrat Uniparty, whatever you want to call them, how we have to play the game. So I know that Trump has been sort of promoting that, but I also have heard, I think it's John Fredrickson, who's been out there talking more about voting on Election Day. Somebody else was saying, maybe it was Steve Bannon was even saying that. You go out there and you vote on Election Day and they can't. Of course, we saw what happened in Arizona. So what is the best way when it comes to the election to get past it this time? But we really have to demand changes we need to be changing it, obviously, at the local and state level to begin with. But at the federal level, I think we're going to need some kind of a constitutional amendment to control these elections so they can't play these kind of games like this. It's supposed to be at the state level. We go back and forth on what the states do versus what the federal. But when it comes to the presidential elections, I think we have to clean that up at the constitutional level. Something's not right there. Let's see.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Only thing that they were talking about was we don't need 45 days of early voting.
Right.
If you're going to have early voting, the person should have to request a ballot, and there should be a verification of signature. And the ballot box should be in the supervisor of election precinct office, where it is managed, watched, cameras, the whole nine yards, not out in the street someplace, unsecured. That was part of the problem. I believe we should only have voting on Election Day, but that's not going to happen. So we have to be real and deal with what we have. And although I disagree with ballot harvesting, if they're doing it, we should be doing it also. But that's not the only way. We have to get people registered to vote, and we have to make sure they vote. That's the important thing. Like I said, registering doesn't mean anything if you don't follow it up with a vote. So we have to pick five people that you know and talk about voting and make sure they vote. That's all. Then you are doing
it. And in Florida, we got to do something to make sure that these retirement centers and nursing homes and whatever else, because that's where the real ballot harvesting or a massive part of it is right there going and making sure that it's legitimate, these people who are voting, and that they're not playing those kind of games, because that was a big part of the problem in Florida too. And speaking about Florida, First off, how are we doing on getting our language changed so we have the right to have a manual count? And then you went to Tallahassee just recently, too. And then what's this other stuff with what DeSantis has other games that he's playing and that kind of stuff? What's the latest scoop on some of the stuff with Florida here? As I know, it's we're making progress because I know a couple of groups and teams went to Tallahassee, and I think I saw something today where a committee has one of the things that was being proposed. Can you give us the latest and greatest on that?
The four bills that the Defend Florida was hottest on, which the most important one was citizenship. But all four bills have been accepted and have made it into bill drafting. So they are being written right now as we speak. They don't have a number yet. Hopefully they'll have a number by next week. And then they will go into committee and they will be the reception from the younger representatives was a lot stronger than the reception from the older representatives. They found very interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was very good. We also got the motor voter cleaned up so that they no longer will a person be put as an NPA just by saying, I don't want to give you my party affiliation, because that's what was happening. People that would go to the DMV to get their driver's license would be asked if they wanted to register to vote, or if they were registered and they filled out on the DMV certificate what party affiliate they were, and if they elected to choose that they didn't feel like saying it, which is perfectly fine, then they were being slated as NPA. So that skewed everything, and that was not good. So unfortunately, we have a closed system in Florida, but if we have a closed system, it's not going to change. We have to learn to work within it. And by March of 2024, if you are going to vote in the primary, then you must sign up to be in one of the parties. That is not something I am in favor of, but right now that is what we have. So we have no choice. That is what we must do. DeSantis is busy being someplace, but he is now losing heavily in the polls as to run for president. And Karl Rove, bless his heart, said that if DeSantis doesn't do well in Iowa, then he should call it a day. And all attention should go to Nikki.
Yeah. This is why you got to get rid of these stupid parties. This is the ultimate example. If you're a constitutionalist, which party would you? And there is a Constitution Party, but of course, they're ignored. And even when they've had enough, it was Dr. Tolbert, I think, was actually running on with the Constitution Party at one point, or there was somebody else that was. They should have been allowed to participate in the debates, but they wouldn't do it. These two parties have a total stranglehold on this ballot box and on this election stuff. They change all the rules to keep them in power. Recognizing that there truly is a Constitution Party out there, but nobody would know about it because of the games they play. But if you're an American who's a true patriot constitutionalist and that's what you want to believe, what party would you align yourself with? Because I can't see you aligning. I mean, at one point, the Republican Party was the one you thought you would align yourself with, the Freedom Party, supposedly. But they're so corrupt. And the Democrat Party, of course, at one point, they were supposed to be about the working class, but that was never true. That's always been a fraud and a farce. Even though they did, an excellent job on the brainwashing stuff to it. So, if you're a constitutionalist, what party do you align yourself with? Because I can't, as a constitutionalist, I can't align myself with either one of these parties. They're both too corrupt. At the same time, if I don't go and if I want to participate, And the key element of that primary for the presidency, I'm going to be forced to be associated with one of these two organizations that I think are disgusting and corrupt and illegal as far as I'm concerned, unconstitutional. But yet that's the only way I get to participate in my election. Because it's my election too. So if you're a constitutionalist, which party are you supposed to be with? But that, again, goes back to what I was saying earlier. That's what I will do, but I'm going to have at least one or two witnesses when I go down to that supervisor of elections office, and I'm going to clarify, okay, in order for me to vote for the presidency, I have to be a primary. I have to be in one of these parties. Is that what you're telling me? And then I'm going to have it documented that they forced me, taxed my soul to be forced to align myself with something so totally disgusting in order to have a right to participate in my presidential and vice presidential election. Disgusting. Anyway, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. That should never happen. That is something that should never be because you are being forced into joining a private organization, and that is so unconstitutional that it hurts even when you say it. And it is, these are the games that they play when the people don't know what their rights are and allowed it to happen. And that's exactly, we allowed that to happen. So it's quite sad. And, here's another thing that we have to look forward to. Apparently in Europe, there is a health emergency for human swine flu, and they are considering a lockdown. Now, does that sound familiar? Geez. I think it's right around election time. It's time for a flu and a lockdown. We cannot allow that to happen. A mandate is not a law, and there is absolutely no way that any American should obey a mandate unless they totally agree with it. A president cannot demand a mandate. It doesn't matter what for, because you have the right to say, no, I'm not doing that. So I guess in America, we are going to start seeing people wearing those stupid masks again because the mask will protect you.
Yeah, and the other part we have to stress here too, because remember the game, and this was what Fauci even said. I mean, Fauci said this in the beginning. Oh, the government's not going to require it. It's going to be the stores. The government, this is what you call fascism. The government is going to be hassling, harassing the stores, the corporations, the businesses, to mandate it for your employment and your being allowed to go shop there type of thing. So that's what real fascism is, using government to control the private entities. And that's what they did here. That's what they did massive. So when they go and start their mandates from the federal government, you got to reach out to the businesses, including the military. Of course, we saw what happened with the military, too. But understand that it's fascism if the stores are doing that because they've been coerced or threatened or whatever else it is, whatever the other games that government is doing, not going to assist them like they assist others if they don't do this, what they're told, that kind of nonsense. But we have to, because there's two levels. The government mandating it isn't a mandate, like you said, it's not a law. But if they force private businesses to require, or, and I shouldn't say force, coerce, do the other games to entice them, whatever it is, to get them to do this stuff, we have to reject that as much as possible, too. We cannot go along. So if the stores don't want, they're going to force you to put the mask on, then don't go there. We have to say, well, we can't shop there anymore. And not, you just can't do it. We have to shut it down. It's up to us to shut it down because we know what these morons are. And we know that this Democrat Party will do anything to keep control and to take down this country because that's what they're doing right now. They're taking down our country, and they're going to keep doing it as long as we let them. Back to you.
Exactly. We have the power. We don't use it. We have to stop giving it to them and stop allowing them to do it. And here's a perfect example. Congress, after their vacation, is going to be back in business on tomorrow. So let us make sure that they are working on the budget so that we don't wind up with a CR, which Chucky is already licking his chops for. He's already put the bid in. He needs money for Ukraine and he needs money for Israel. And it's extra money. It's on top of the $2 trillion budget. It can't be. It has to come from someplace, and there is not one penny more that should go to Ukraine under any circumstances, because they got all told approximately $100 billion with a B dollars. Now, where did that money come from? That money was borrowed from China. Isn't that exciting? Now China won't even lend us money anymore. They're not stupid. Why should we give money to the United States when all we have to do is go in and say, pay your debt? Where is the brains that says, we don't owe you anything for what you did because of the pandemic? We don't owe you a dime. We are wiping the slate clean. As a matter of fact, you owe us. Instead, China is flexing its muscles and is now playing footsie in the China Sea all around Taiwan. And China controls our medicine. Remember that, folks. China controls our pharmaceutical. China decides that you're not going to get insulin. Guess what? You're not going to get insulin. So who has the upper hand here? And what is this wonderful government doing about it? What is your legislator doing about it? My legislator is doing nothing.
But wait a minute now, Karen. Come on now. We had that good old stuff going out in California, and didn't China tell Biden, oh, we're going to cut that. We're gonna restrict fentanyl. We're going to stop the bioweapon poisoning we're doing to your country. Didn't he say something stupid to that effect? Oh, yeah. But the other part of it, too, is, okay, after everything happened with COVID and all this came out, why are these medicines, how come we're not getting them manufactured here? Why are we not producing more of this? Why is it not coming back here, too? That's the other aspect. And this is where, you go back to these morons who are in charge and say, stop funding this and that and whatever else. Stop funding Big Pharma until they start making our own medications or whatever kind of thing. We have to bring it back to us instead of letting it there. But I had to comment on, China said they were going to cut down on the fentanyl. How could any moron believe that? Well, I guess if you're a moron, you'll believe anything, I guess. I don't know. How stupid.
Well, I just look at this as this is the opium wars in reverse. And China is doing to us what England did to them years ago when they introduced opium into the black market of China and really began to take over large portions of China because their people were stoned all the time. So they're getting even. And it's not that I agree or anything, but you got to read some history and understand the games that are played, the war games, because right now they're not just war games of we're going to drop a bomb on you. They're mind control, they're technology control, they're pharmaceutical control, they're bioweapons. We could go through, they infiltrate our universities, they have infiltrated our government. I don't know if people realize that they just found a large percentage of the illegals that came into America recently are young men of Chinese descent. Why are they here? And how are they going to pledge to America? They're not. Because once you come here and you have left China, if you came here legally with a passport, with a visa, and you are still a Chinese citizen, you are beholden to the CCP.
Exactly.
They don't care. They're not. They're not going to say, "Oh, you know, now you're going to be an American." You never stop being a communist Chinese. Never. You are there at their whim and their ideas, and you must follow their plan, which is to annihilate America. So let's not forget that. So how many of us are stupid enough to think that when she was shaking Biden's hand and said we'll be partners, he really meant it? I don't think so.
Well, Biden believed it. Oh, look how he's done such a good job. Wasn't he taking credit for something else Trump just recently did too? I don't. The world is laughing at us. They're saying these stupid Americans. How can Americans used to be all this smart people, but look how stupid they really are. Look how they. How many? They elected a non-citizen as president. They couldn't figure that one out. And this guy is not really honestly elected. It's a corrupt election, and they want to be the leader of the free world. What a joke. What a joke. I mean, when you think of what the world is looking and laughing at, it's like, I'm just thankful and thank God that these other countries are stepping up to the plate, too, and we get a rally worldwide. We need the same people worldwide who are all harmed by this crazy COVID jab stuff, and realizing that how much they were lied to and how much and everything else tried to get these people to come together with us and them. You know, we've got a chance to defeat this insanity, new world order garbage that's going on out there. But it does give me some hope that things are changing little by little. And it's kind of like, well, Americans, we might want to look around and see what the rest of the world's doing and maybe take a lead. Well, instead of us being the leaders this time, it's going to be the other way around. We're going to say, God, look at that. They're actually doing something. Yeah. But when it comes to the drug stuff, I always go back to, now the fentanyl, they're lacing other stuff with it. It's really more like fentanyl poisoning, if you will, versus the kids just taking fentanyl and ODing on that kind of stuff. So it's which is a true definition of a bioweapon. I mean, inserting it in there, giving it to people, and they don't even know it. But it goes back to why the kids are taking anything to begin with, and it's primarily younger people. It's not just them, but it's primarily younger people. But this goes into this whole culture thing, which is what we the kids, I'm hoping the group We the Kids, as they're teaching these other values and stuff like that, We have to get to the real root of why young people feel like it's necessary to take some kind of drug to alter their thinking or whatever else, what all the different things we're doing to these young people that promote that. Now, when it comes to people getting drunk from time to time, well, you know, it's wanting to be a little bit brain dead for a short time, but it's not supposed to be something permanent. We won't talk about alcohol abuse or alcoholism, but drinking alcohol to some degree isn't deadly. But when it comes to this other stuff, when the excess of all the other drugs, what is driving these people to do this? I've asked that question many, many times. Why do you feel a need to get stoned or high or whatever? What drives you to taking drugs? Because I never did understand it. I've never been a cigarette smoker, never smoked pot. Have alcohol, social alcohol. But I'm not an alcoholic by any means, and I don't go around getting snockered all the time or anything stupid like that. But when it comes to the drugs, just something that's bugged me for years.
Well, everybody is addicted to something. Everybody has a phase that they do more than other things. And that's just human nature. And if you take away the drive of... if you take away a person's destiny, if you force them into doing things that doesn't turn them on, if they're not involved in something that stimulates them, then they turn to something else. And a large time it turns out being drugs. Sometimes it's an experiment that they are pushed into because of peer pressure. Sometimes it's an experiment that goes bad when they've had an incident or an accident and they become addicted that way. A lot of it has to do with the pharmaceuticals that made people addicted to begin with. But it's boredom is one of the biggest problems. And it was interesting what Bill was saying, that when we were talking about the history, and he said that the people paid homage to the king, but when they moved away from self-governance, which the Jewish the Jews for 400 years when they escaped from Egypt, took care of themselves. They were individualized. They each had their sword by their side and they each took care of their family. They didn't need a king. They didn't need a ruler. They ruled themselves. And this is a large part of where our Constitution comes from and the concept of America comes from. And after 400 years, the elders got together and decided that they had to be like everybody else. The corruption always came out, and the crime came out, and the feeling was that if they only had a king, they could go back to being ruled again. And the king should be making the rules, and they should be making the rules. Also, the Hebrews were the most literate because the other, like the Chinese, they had something like 3,000 or 4,000 characters that they had to learn to memorize in order to be able to read, whereas the Jewish alphabet is very similar to the Arabic alphabet, to our alphabet, and there's only 26 characters, of which each has its own sound, and learning to read is not difficult, because once you learn the sounds of the symbols of the letters, then you can read. So after the 400 years of not being ruled, they went back to being ruled by the king. And as soon as that happened, he said, the decadence, the perversion, we call it pornography. I don't know if that's what they call it. But that and the drugs came right back because people had too much time on their hands. They weren't caring for their family. The king would care for them. So it was a whole mentality of drugs, and the drugs have been around for eons. They have been around forever. This is nothing new. And if we think that if we think that all the drugs that are coming into America are headed to the ghetto, think again. They're not. Yeah. They go to D.C., they go to the cities, they go to the board meetings. If our government wanted to stop drugs coming in, they'd stop drugs coming in.
They could. Between the money they make and the control it gives them. But I believe it was on when Bill Fetter was on one of the shows a couple years back, and talking about the fall of the Roman Empire and stuff like that, it was the Occupy the Idiots. How you occupy the idiots, and the part of that was the Colosseum and the games and the alcohol. So they were literally occupying the people, brainwashing them, letting them have all this fun and play over here and do all this other stuff while they destroyed their economy and their currency and everything else. And that's where the word idiot, useful idiots, somehow kind of, if I'm remembering correctly, I'm trying to remember how Bill Fetterer was talking about it one time. But literally coming back to occupy the idiots and in mess on people's minds, getting them drunk and stoned and out of their heads and whatever else. Alcohol, definitely nothing new kind of thing.
Yeah,
and then
nothing,
the other,
nothing,
let me see. Joe, you're more than welcome to chime in. We got 15 minutes left if you want to chime in. Joe is asking about God ruled what God ruled them. What in the heck are you talking about? What is she talking about? But no, I mean, we can talk about where God came into this discussion kind of thing. And then, no, this is Rogers. We're talking history. And, Joe, if you've never listened to William Federer, you really ought to listen to him. He's been on this show a few times in the past. And he's going to be on Karen's show this weekend. And an excellent historian. If you've never listened to him, you need to tell. And he just goes through it. And this is exactly the story of the world, the history of the world. Anyway, so if you want to talk about how God played, what God roles played in all of this, as the peasants were getting drunk and out of their mind on whatever.
Yeah, they turned away from God. That was the whole problem. They began to worship false idols. They began to, they turned away from God. They didn't believe in God anymore. And that this is the result. You're absolutely right. How do you get the people to obey you, to give up? Because that's what they also gave up. They gave their land back to the king instead of owning their own. And how do you do that? Well, you get them drugged and stoned and drunk and give them toys and, toy things to play with and have a coliseum and do the entertaining. And basically it's the same thing they're doing now. Nothing has changed. That's what I said to Bill. I said, I can't believe you're describing this in the early 900s and thousands, and here we are doing the same thing over and over again. So how smart is that? It's not. But people don't know.
It really does show the history repeating itself and the human condition. And I'm like, I've made the joke many times, and it's a joke, but it's not a joke. It's like, the humans are so, people think that the humans are the highest life form on this planet. I really think we're probably the lowest. I just don't know. Other animals don't do this to themselves. They don't. Other life forms it's kind of amazing to me when I just think about it really is the repeating history. And Tom Pastore many times would say something about the humans haven't gotten better. They're not above all this, and they're too easily to manipulate, too easy to bribe, too easy. there's no true independent thinking. We're supposed to be all about independent thinking. Isn't that what America is supposed to be, independent? And you're not supposed to be totally dictated and controlled and be a bunch of sheeple, but here we are, a bunch of sheeple again.
Yeah, how sad is that? Very sad. So
yeah.
This is the time, and we have a very short window. And I believe that we had better be paying attention to what our legislators are doing. And if they don't come up with the 12 bills for the budget, and they don't come up with the right thing to do, and they go back and do an omnibus bill, we are toast. We really are.
And everybody listening, and tell 5 or 10 other people you know, whatever else. Everybody has to call that speaker, that House speaker. Make sure you call his office, and make sure you call your own representative office and the Senate, whatever. You've got to knock or bang, not really knock, bang on the door and say enough already. Everybody needs to do that. If you don't know the phone number, I don't have the speaker's phone number right in front of me here. I could probably get it off my cell phone here because I have called it and I saved the number because I'm planning on calling him again. Go out there and just do a search on U.S. House, and it'll come up, and you can find all their phone numbers. The same for the Senate. If anybody can find that information out there on calling. Whoops, looks like Sarge may want to chime in here. But it's up to us to demand the changes, and we got to, if they won't do it, you got to pay really close attention to the scumbags that promote the garbage that's going on now. We cannot reelect these people. We got to go out there and shut them down. Okay, let's see. I'm thinking this is Sarge, but I may be wrong.
Well, I'm telling you, this is about as prescient You're just about as prescient as you are smart and informative. Sally, you hit the nail on the head. You hit it on the head. And look here, I'm just letting you know one thing, Sally. I don't care if you got your little analogy about the a thimble in the bathtub to explain the absurdity behind the theory of global warming. I'm taking it, and I'm going to use it to illuminate this farce to as many people as I can. So there.
Okay, and that was Karen, just so you know. That was Karen.
Great. Well, okay, Karen. Well, okay, Karen. Well, it was great. Yeah, I was having trouble hearing. Yeah, I was having trouble distinguishing voices because of I was getting bad reception when I was driving home, so that may be why I couldn't tell exactly who it was. But look, environmentalism is nothing more than watermelon Marxism. It's green on the outside, it's red on the inside. It combines absurd science, just like transgenderism. Well, not quite as bad, but close to it. And it combines bad science with totalitarianism, because that is the only way you're going to be able to implement all of its dictates. And we can see the opening impulses of it today, with the urge to tell you, to force you what kind of car you have to drive, what kind of stove you can have, or you're talking about what kind of way you heat your house, you know, what kind of weed whacker you can own. I mean, good Lord. And like I said, it's based on the foundation of this theory is, you know, they're ignoring the 95% of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere that is water vapor. I don't know what they want. Maybe they want to turn the United States into an atmosphere the world into an atmosphere like Mars with no water vapor in it, practically in the air. We could be like Mars, I guess. But since 95% of greenhouse gases are water vapor, and they're saying that about 0.04% of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere is carbon dioxide, and we human beings, now get this now, we human beings contribute perhaps 2 to 3% of that. And they're saying that in order to prevent global warming from occurring, we have to eliminate the 2 to 3% of the 0.04% that is carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is not, by the way, a pollutant. It's not a poison. It's plant food. And without plants, nothing's going to live on this planet. Nothing. I mean, they're just going
exactly.
nuts. And they have currency everywhere.
It's all fake science.
It's amazing.
All the science. It's fake science. It's Fauci science.
It is. But they're following the money. They know better. Most of them, at least, know better. But there's money in this because it's big business that's contributed that can upend the current state of affairs. Because they'll be the ones to manufacture the windmills and the EV batteries and all the new technology that's going to supplant what already is. And they're going to make a lot of ton of money. So they're interested in funding all these think tanks and all these scientists who will back them up on this nonsense.
Let me ask you this question. What I don't get is, where is PETA out there about the protection of ethical treatment of animals and all this? Where are these people when all these birds are getting killed in these windmills and we have really, truly no idea of how much damage is being done to the wildlife out there in the ocean? And, I mean, they're MIA when it comes to protecting them. Yeah, exactly. These beached whales and stuff, and the noise and the problems of when they're putting these windmills in and how they, you know, I've seen these windmill farms or whatever you want to call them that are offshore. Yeah, I mean, I hate the impact, obviously, just to even having a ship or a boat come across. Can't even go through there because there's so many of them. But what does it do? I just don't understand why PETA doesn't seem to care about that wildlife. They don't care about them. It's just beyond me that they're not out there opposing this insanity from that that
Sally,
side.
Sally, the average EV automobile battery requires digging up about 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for one EV battery on average. And that's not talking about the kind they need in, like, the Hummer H3, this new model of the Hummer H3, which has come out. That thing needs a battery that weighs, wait for it now, about 3,500 pounds. That's a ton of that. That's as much as a lot of cars weigh all by itself. The average EV vehicle weighs 40% more than the comparable internal combustion engine vehicle owing to the weight of the battery. Now, this is, of course, going to cause increased wear on tires, on the infrastructure that they love to talk about and harp about so much. You know, the bridges, you know, and the more, you know, like I said, more rubber being worn out means you're going to have to manufacture more rubber for all the electric vehicles out there. And then they're ignoring, the environmental costs of digging up the Earth's crust to make one of these. But let's not talk, even, do you realize what sort of chemicals they need to process an electric battery? They require hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, nitric acid, hydrogen fluoride, trichloroethane, and acetone. They need gallium, arsenide, copper, iridium, gallimide, diselenide, and cadmium telluride, which are highly toxic. They need all that stuff to make an electric battery.
And I know you know one thing about petroleum.
Yeah.
Well,
and one thing about
petroleum. There was something about how much petroleum it takes to make it, between the energy, the electricity, all the plastic gadgets, all the other petroleum that's needed even to make the electric.
Exactly. Source. And to make and extract oil from the ground is a relatively focused effort. You got a well, and you send a shaft down a well, and you got pumps, and you pump it back up. And you send it to a refinery, and you refine it. The United States has got some of the sweetest crude in the world. It doesn't require as many refining steps in order to make it useful, which means you have to do less polluting in order to do it. And even if it was as sulfuric as a lot of these other crudes in the world, like Venezuela, for instance, our refining process is so much cleaner than most everywhere in the world. Anyway, I mean, there's no upside to this except to those who want more power and control over us, those who want to enable the rich Chinese in collusion with them for whatever benefit they think they're going to get from the commie Chinese, and, of course, whatever the Chinese intend to get from it. But there's no upside to the American people and the American public, zero, none whatsoever. We're only going to give up more control. We have less flexibility in our transportation. It's not going to be as efficient. It won't work as well. And it's a damn potential hazard like nothing else you've seen. Because all batteries are self-discharging. They will eventually all leak. And when they leak, they're even more of a hazard to catch on fire. And it's spontaneous and it never goes out. I mean, you can submerge it in water. And if you pull it up out of the water, it's subject to go all over like white phosphorus or something. It's crazy.
So the question goes back again, and this is when you're talking to these people, you're elected, and follow the real science. Would you follow what's really true about this stuff and stop funding it? Now, they're claiming, and I should say it was my representative here in Florida that said, that they were defunding a lot of this nonsense, this climate stuff, and that's what they're supposed to be doing in these different bills, appropriation bills. So they're saying. And that's what they should be doing. And when you call, you say stop funding the fake climate change because what you're doing is causing more harm. You're causing more damage, and the truth about EVs and what it takes, it's all a fraud, it's all a scam. And you're harming the climate more and the environment than you're doing good. So let's be honest. Let's try the truth. Let's get to the truth and stop the insanity and stop trying to play games and everything. We've only got a little
almost
bit less than a minute here.
EV,
what's that?
Almost every single EV is ultimately powered by fossil fuels. Every single one.
Exactly. Exactly. We end up using fossil fuels to power them anyway for the diesel, for the charging. The whole thing is it's totally insane. It's not
and
real.
To manufacture
totally
them too. And to manufacture them.
Yeah. Well, and people don't want them. They're sitting on the parking lots. Nobody can afford them. And so why are these people in public office promoting it? But just to let everybody know, we're down to a minute here. And I'm going to have to wrap up the show here in a couple of minutes, too, because my work is calling me. I'm going to have to take care of some business here. So I'm not going to be to continue on, but we'll do a quick wrap-up. Go ahead, Sergeant, last few minute thoughts there, and then go to Karen, and then we will call it a night.
Well, we have a president that is bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party, and they're calling in their chips. That's just that simple. And all those who want to enable this new state of affairs are trying to prop him up, despite all the new evidence coming out, and particularly in Georgia. I mean, it's been just a rafter of, you only touched on some of it. I've been really keeping up with it. It's just a wealth of information that actually was stolen in Georgia, certainly in Pennsylvania, probably in Arizona. It's these swing states where they do all this stuff. They don't have to steal the election in every single state. All I got to do is concentrate in 5 or 6 of them. And on the evidence, more and more is increasingly is showing that to be so.
Absolutely. We know it. The truth will set us free, but uncovering that truth is going to take some pain. Thank you so much, Sarge, and we'll carry this conversation on more next week. We will have We the Kids on next week, too, if all goes as planned, since we had to postpone that for tonight. Karen, any last-minute words of wisdom? And go ahead and re-announce your show if you'd like.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. It is always wonderful to talk to you. And, yes, I agree with Sarge. We've got to pay attention to our elections. And the best thing I can say is vote, 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 vote. Get as many people as you can. Get your friends to vote. Get your friends to register if they haven't voted. Go to your supervisor of elections and find out who hasn't voted, and then pay them a visit as a representative of a citizens group saying, you know, we need to vote. This is going to be a critical election, and like I said, President Trump cannot do this by himself. He's going to need all of us to participate, which means we have to participate locally, and we have to participate in our state, and we have to do and learn things called nullification, and make sure that the federal government stays in their lane. They just won a victory in Alberta, Canada, against Trudeau. Their Supreme Court has determined that one of the bills that he had put forth is unconstitutional. And guess what it was about? Oil and gas. So Alberta now has the ability to pump their own oil and gas and do not have to pay attention to Ottawa. Well, Alberta is just like one of the states in America. Same idea, same concept. Where are you guys?
Yep.
What is wrong with them? We have a governor in Florida who hasn't figured that out yet. He's put us on a path of green energy that we're paying billions of dollars to China for solar panels. Instead of growing food, we're growing solar panels. So we have a lot of work to do. Don't think that, you know, once the election is over, it's over. It's not over. Not over until we say it's over. And we have a lot of work to do. So thank you so much. Please listen to the Prism of America's Education on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday at 7 and 9. And like I said, this week's guest will be Bill Federer and Elena Johnson, who is a fabulous writer for the Canada Free Press. And their motto is, without America, there would be no free world. So they're right. It's up to us.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sally.
And thank you. Thank you so much for that. And thank you, Sarge, too. Thank you for everybody out who is listening. And definitely, if you have not heard Bill Federer, you've got to listen to him. It's just excellent. He goes through it, goes through the history, and you just see it. Yeah, and it all makes sense. It's like, yeah, and here we are again. History does repeat itself. So if you're not familiar with it, and please tune in next week. Apologize that we were not able to have the We the Kids, a little bit of a scheduling conflict, so we're going to try to get them rescheduled for next week. And more importantly, or equally important, please be engaged, talk to these others, and kind of like what Karen was saying, you know, people who are registered to vote but haven't been voting, or those who have never voted, but definitely if they've been registered to vote and they have not taken the time to vote, they need to make sure their vote isn't stolen. Because I'm going to go down there and I'm going to vote. I know that if they try to stop me and they say somebody already voted for me, then I will know someone stole my vote, and I'm not going to stand for it. So I know that my vote will be counted. Can't say it'll be counted honestly by the tabulator, but I know it will be there. I will vote. But these people who don't vote all the time and or have moved or whatever else, they're the ones whose votes truly do get stolen because they somebody else, some mechanism in the system, is using their vote for improper use. So if you are registered to vote, make sure you vote and no one steals your vote because that's another part of this, the way they manipulate the system. But anyway, with that being said, please, please say a prayer for America. Say a prayer for the world. If we come together, united we stand, we can do it. Things are turning around a little. We've got to keep it going. And contact Speaker Johnson and contact your reps. Please do that. And then next week when we have the show, call in and say what kind of response you got. Tell us what you reported to them. And let us know how many other people you got to do it as well. With that being said, God bless America. Good night, everyone. And we will talk again next week. Thank you.